Live and learn. I am Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel was created to provide comprehensible input for people who want to improve their listening comprehension and their speaking ability in English. Millions of people around the world studied English but are in a similar situation. That is, they know a lot about English, and they can understand some English, but native conversations are difficult, and speaking English can be frightening. This channel was created to address those two problems. For many years, I struggled to learn languages. I used traditional methods, and the results were very disappointing. The big change occurred when I discovered comprehensible input. That's when my results really took off. That is why this channel exists. For those of you new to comprehensible input, I have a lot of videos on this channel that explain how it works and how you might use it. I started with the phrase, live and learn. There's also a related phrase, learn the hard way. Those two phrases are related to today's story. As I make this video, we are in the fall. It is autumn. The summer is past. The days are getting shorter and cooler. Here in Northern California, we see a lot more rain and a lot more wind. Today, it is a nice, clear day, but it is cold and windy. As I was thinking about the fall, I thought back to a point in time many years ago when I was living in Austria. I was living in Austria to study at the university in Graz. I was there during the fall and into the winter. My German skills were very poor. But every day I listened to people speaking, and my skills got better over time. One day in the restaurant, the pub at the end of the street, I was listening to people talk about something that seemed interesting, so I asked the owner of the restaurant what they were talking about. They included me in the conversation. And when I didn't understand, the restaurant owner gave me some clues what they were talking about. What they were talking about was this. This is a chestnut. But they didn't call it a chestnut. They called it a castaña. They were speaking in German. And in German, this is a castaña. I've heard it called castañí. In English, it's a chestnut. In the United States, we have a peculiar relationship with this nut. This is a nut that forms on a tree, a chestnut tree. They fall to the ground, and all over the world, people gather these nuts. They have a hard shell, and inside the shell, there is a delicious nut, the meat of the chestnut is delicious, and many people associate chestnuts with the fall and winter. The peculiarity of chestnuts in the United States has to do with a blight. A blight is a disease, sometimes a pandemic disease, but it's not a disease of people, it's a disease of plants. Before 1900, in the United States, there were billions of chestnut trees, American chestnut trees. Most of them were near to the Appalachian Mountains on the eastern side of the country. These large and beautiful trees produced lots of chestnuts, and people were used to collecting them. It was part of the culture. It was part of the annual celebration of the fall and winter. But something happened. With the development of the Industrial Revolution in the early 1800s, international commerce became more common. By 1900, ships were routinely traveling between the continents, and this very much increased trade. Right around 1900, we saw the importation of wood from Asia into the United States. Chestnut trees exist in Asia, Europe, and North America, but they're different varieties and they grow in different ecosystems. Scientists and plant pathologists tell us what happened right around 1900. In 1904, the first trees that exhibited signs of the American chestnut blight were noted in New York City. Looking back, it appears that this was related to the importation of wood from Asian chestnuts into the United States, into New York City. It appears that this wood that was imported probably from Japan had a fungus, and that fungus was transmitted to trees in the United States. After the first trees in New York City died of this blight, the transmission of this fungal infection among the trees in North America was rapid. The fungus would gradually kill each tree, but it did not kill the root system. Over time, the roots would sprout new trunks, but once they developed a certain level of maturity, the fungus would attack the new tree and it would die as well. When this blight started in 1904, it was estimated that there were between 3 and 4 billion chestnut trees, American chestnut trees, in North America. By 1950, almost all of them were dead and gone. This process of losing all these beautiful trees was observed by my parents. They lived through that era, and they remembered having beautiful chestnut trees and watching them die. In recent years, blight-resistant strains of the American chestnut have been developed, and there are efforts afoot to repopulate the country with American chestnuts. This process is expensive and it takes a long time, but it is hoped that we can restore this beautiful tree to North American forests. Because of this blight, people in North America did not have ready access to chestnuts, and so eating chestnuts around the end of the year became less common. When I was growing up, I had never seen one. I had never seen a chestnut tree, and I had never seen a chestnut. That all changed when I moved to Austria to study. I was there in the fall in Graz, Austria. They had chestnuts like this, and I was fascinated. This was new to me. In the restaurant, the pub at the end of the street, I learned that there was a grove of chestnut trees within easy walking distance, and it was available to the public. It was a local tradition that people would go to that stand of trees and pick these up from the ground. I thought that was fantastic. Free food? Free, interesting, new food? I was in. I was ready. So I hiked up the road and found those trees and walked into that grove of chestnut trees. Exactly as described, there were a lot of these on the ground. I had brought a bag, so I was putting them into a bag. There were a lot of other people doing exactly the same thing. People were very polite. There were plenty of chestnuts, and so there was no conflict. At one point, I was near to a lady, a local Austrian lady, and in my broken German, I asked her how to cook them. She smiled, recognized that I was not a good German speaker, but she understood what I had said, and so she said, Schnitt, and then proceeded to explain in very simple terms how to cook them. Basically, she said to roast them in the oven. I pieced that all together, thanked her, and continued picking up chestnuts. When I had perhaps a pound of chestnuts, I walked back to the apartment. There was a problem with her explanation, not on her side, on my side, because a lot of the words that she used, I did not know. I also didn't have a way of writing anything down, so I didn't know what words to look up. She had just said, Schnitt, and then to cook them. I didn't know what Schnitt meant. I didn't know that word. Well, live and learn, or more properly, learn the hard way. I put a bunch of these nuts on a pan, put them into the oven, and roasted them. But because I didn't know what Schnitt meant, I didn't cut the shell, because Schnitt means to cut. Schneiden, to cut. That was the day I learned that word, because after the chestnuts began to roast, the moisture inside turned to steam and expanded, and the result was a series of explosions of these nuts in the oven. When the nuts exploded, it was loud, and it spread the meat of the nut on all of the surfaces of the oven. The entire inside of the oven was coated with a thin, somewhat sticky layer of chestnut meat. In that thin layer, at oven temperature, all of that nut meat burned. Soon I had smoke coming out of the oven. I had to open the windows of the apartment. I took the nuts out of the oven and I turned the oven off. It smelled horribly. After the oven cooled down, it took me a long time to clean the inside of the oven and the racks. I had to clean the entire oven, and it took forever. Eventually, I discovered that Schnitt meant to cut. Mind you, this was before the internet, so I had no easy way of learning how to cook chestnuts. I learned the hard way. The other bit of learning about chestnuts occurred on the streets of Graz. Downtown in Graz, there are two squares that are very famous and popular, the Jakob-Mini-Platz and the Kaiser-Josef-Platz. I was frequently in those locations. There were lots of stores, some restaurants, and a lot of stands where people sold things like sausages, bread, beer. But there were also stands in the fall, in the autumn, that sold chestnuts. There were people in the street in the fall. They had a charcoal fire, and they were roasting these chestnuts in this charcoal fire. All of the chestnuts were cut either in half or in quarters, but only through the shell. When they roasted, the shell would open up and expose the nut. They were easy to peel and eat. They were selling them, and they were not expensive, so I bought some. They did not sell them in bags. They had an interesting, novel way of selling these chestnuts. They made a cone of newspaper. They rolled a newspaper one end of the cone came to a point, and the other end of the cone was open. Once they had made this cone, they would put chestnuts, roasted chestnuts, in the cone, and then fold the top over, and it formed a little bag. But this bag was free. It was newspaper. This is the way they sold them in Graz. When I bought my first package of chestnuts, I realized what Schnitt meant, because it was clear that they had cut these nut shells with a knife. That proved to me the error of my ways. That phrase, the error of my ways, is a common expression you will hear. The error of my ways just means the mistake that you had made. When I ate these chestnuts from the street, they were smoky and very rich. They also reminded me of the bad smell of the chestnuts in the apartment created when I exploded a bunch of chestnuts in my oven. It took me a while to get over my recollection of that bad smell. Now I like chestnuts. Now we can buy chestnuts every fall. Most grocery stores have chestnuts, and people enjoy cooking them. I usually cut them across and then either steam them or roast them in the oven. The trouble with roasting them in the oven is that if you cook them too long, the nut dries out and turns into a little stone, a little pebble, which is no longer edible. It's just too hard. Chestnuts are easy to overcook. Steaming them, for me, is safer. I can cook them without drying them out. So when I look at these beautiful little chestnuts that I have found at the store, I remember that experience of live and learn, or more accurately, learn the hard way. The downside of learning the hard way is it can be unpleasant, and it can be expensive depending upon what sort of thing you're doing. Failures can cost us money and can be unpleasant. However, learning the hard way results in powerful learning. I learned a lot of words related to chestnuts and my unpleasant experience in such a powerful way that I will never forget them and never have any difficulty using them. The other peculiar thing about learning the hard way is it is only painful at the time. When I look back on that experience, which at the time was unpleasant, I don't relive those unpleasant feelings that occurred at the time. Now, it's an amusing story, and my response is usually just to smile. I hope you enjoyed this story. If you have not yet subscribed to the Input English channel, please hit that subscription button. It really helps if you subscribe to the channel. The subscribership is nearing the 10,000 subscriber mark. That's exciting. You can help this channel get over that 10,000 subscriber mark by subscribing if you have not yet done so. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.